Paul's second sending. Acts 26:17. Delivering thee from the people, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Acts 22:21. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Notice the verse in Acts 26. It says that the Lord is now sending Paul to some people. But the verse in Acts 22 says, I will send thee. So if in Acts chapter 9, which is the context of our first verse, the one written in Acts 26 Paul is now sent to some people, then the ones the Lord later said I will send you to, must be different people. And that's what we want to look at, the two sendings of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, most theologians associate the two verses together. Some Bibles cross-reference the verse in Acts 22 to the verses in Acts 9 and Acts 26. On the road to Damascus, in Acts chapter 9, the Lord from heaven appeared to Saul of Tarsus. What happened here is contrary to all that had went on before during the time of the book of Acts. Earlier, Peter had preached a resurrection gospel. He had charged the men of Israel with the murder of their Messiah, called on them to repent and be converted so that the Lord would come again, their sins would be blotted out and the kingdom would be restored to Israel. But Saul of Tarsus was a rebel. He was an unbeliever. And on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, Saul was not on the road to repentance as some would suggest. Some say that Saul had heard Stephen preach, he was convicted by what he heard, and that it only took the Holy Spirit one chapter to convince him. That's just not the case at all. It took the direct intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ to convince Paul. There is a constant attempt on the part of fundamental religion to belittle the ministry and the message of Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, while they exalt the ministry of Peter and the message of the Jewish gospel of the kingdom. It seems that when God cast Israel away, that ever since, fundamental religion has insisted on grabbing and holding on to the Jews' religion. All over fundamental Christianity today you see elements of the Jews' religion. From the Jewish water ritual of water baptism, to the weak and beggarly elements of observing days and feasts and suppers. Some even dress up in costumes that are reminiscent of the Levitical priesthood. Some forbid to marry and command to abstain from certain meats, and on and on. But the point is that God did something different in Acts chapter 9 and religion has hated it and tried to deny it ever since. The amazing thing is that the salvation of Saul of Tarsus is so significant that Luke gives a detailed account of it three times in the book of Acts, and Paul refers to it several times, giving details about it in the book of Galatians, in 1 Timothy and other passages. You would think it would be enough to get somebody's attention, wouldn't you? But, at any rate, Saul of Tarsus was saved, on the road to Damascus, not the road to repentance, in Acts chapter 9. Acts 9:1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Acts 9:2. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Acts 9:3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Acts 9:4. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 9:5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Acts 9:6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Acts 9:7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. The verse says that the men who were traveling with Paul heard a voice. Now some people try to use this to prove that the Bible has mistakes in it, because there is another verse. Acts 22:8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Acts 22:9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. But there is no contradiction there. The verse in Acts 9 says that the men heard a voice, and Paul says in Acts 22 that they could not hear the voice of the Lord. Well, if they heard a voice but didn't hear the voice of the Lord, then whose voice did they hear? They could hear Paul as he talked to the Lord, but they couldn't hear the Lord as he talked to Paul. There is no contradiction at all, is there? Now, what we want to look at is all the Bible evidence pertaining to Paul's visits to Jerusalem during the time of the book of Acts. We find that there are five. According to Luke's account in the book of Acts, Paul made five trips to Jerusalem during that time. Right now, let's look at the fifth and final trip. In Acts chapter 20, Paul leaves Ephesus and he makes a trip into Macedonia and Greece. Acts 20:1 And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. Acts 20:2 And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. So he stays in Greece, in Corinth, for 3 months, probably during the winter months of AD 57 and into the early part of AD 58. Acts 20:3 And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So Paul leaves Greece, he goes back north through Macedonia, and then he sails from Philippi, meets with the elders of the church at Ephesus at the coastal city of Miletus. He sails on toward Jerusalem and arrives there in Acts 21. Acts 21:18 And the day following Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Acts 21:19 And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Acts 21:20 And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So Paul is convinced by the elders, and by the way, Peter and John are elders, and it says that all the elders were present and that it was the elders who persuaded Paul. Acts 21:22 What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Acts 21:23 Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Acts 21:24 Them take, and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things, whereof they were informed concerning thee, are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly, and keepest the law. So Paul does that. He agrees to purify himself and be at charges with these four men. So he goes into the temple and an uproar breaks out, and Paul gets arrested. The Roman chief captain permits Paul to speak to the Jews. Now it's here that Paul talks about his temple vision. Acts 22:17 And it came to pass, that, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Acts 22:18 And saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Acts 22:19 And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Acts 22:20 And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Acts 22:21 And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Acts 22:22 And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices, and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. From this point on, Paul is a prisoner. He remains a prisoner in Jerusalem and in Caesarea for over 2 years. Then, because he appealed to Caesar, he is sent to Rome. And in Rome, in prison, he writes the prison epistles. Now the point is, that this takes care of his fifth trip to Jerusalem. At this time he reveals the information about the temple vision, but obviously he is referring to some other trip in which he had the vision. He says it was when I was come again to Jerusalem. So with the fifth and final trip eliminated, let's look at the others and see if we can find the circumstances which would fit the vision. Let's go back and start at the beginning. Acts 9:6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So Paul is blind. He is led by the hand into the city. And then Ananias shows up, having seen a vision in which the Lord told him what to do. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. Acts 9:19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Acts 9:20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Notices it says that straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. So immediately we see Paul preaching, not waiting to go to Jerusalem to launch a ministry, as some say. Acts 9:22. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So Paul preaches for a period of time in Damascus. Now let's go to Galatians and let Paul pick up the account. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace. Galatians 1:16. To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Galatians 1:17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. So Paul goes into Arabia, evidently for about 3 years. Galatians 1:18. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. Now that will match what Luke says. Acts 9:23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Acts 9:24. But their laying await was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Acts 9:25. Then the disciples took him by night, and let him down by the wall in a basket. Acts 9:26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Acts 9:28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Acts 9:29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So Paul stays with Peter for 15 days. He is with the disciples coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he speaks boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. None of that matches what the Lord said in the temple vision. Acts 22:17. And it came to pass, that, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Acts 22:18. And saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. In the vision the Lord told Paul to make haste. Staying with Peter for 15 days is not making haste, is it? The Lord said to get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. With the disciples coming in and going out is not getting quickly out of Jerusalem, is it? Speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus is contrary to everything the Lord said, they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now, you have to ask yourself whether Paul would have been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Acts 26:19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He wasn't disobedient to the first heavenly vision. Would he have been to another one? I don't think so. So the point is, theologians can be wrong. Sometimes, an opinion which is a faulty premise, can lead to a faulty conclusion. I believe that it is a faulty conclusion to assume that Paul had a temple vision in Acts chapter 9, as most assume. The next visit Paul makes to Jerusalem is in Acts chapter 11. Acts 11:27 And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Acts 11:28 And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Acts 11:29 Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Acts 11:30 Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, set out for Jerusalem with a contribution for the disciples in Judea. During this period of time James the Apostle is killed by the sword and Peter is shut up in prison by Herod the king. An angel frees Peter from prison and he goes to the home of John Mark's mother. Acts 12:12 And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Evidently at some point in time Paul and Barnabas went up there too. Or if not, they find John Mark somewhere, because when they leave Jerusalem they bring John Mark with them. Acts 12:24 But the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 12:25 And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now just how much time went by, from the time Barnabas and Paul left Antioch to go to Jerusalem and the time they returned to Antioch from Jerusalem is not clear. Evidently it was a rather extended period of time, because they leave before all of the events that Luke writes about, the killing of James, the arrest of Peter and the death of Herod Agrippa, and they come back after all those events, bringing John Mark with them. There is nothing at all in this to indicate that Paul even went to the temple or that he had a vision at that time. He certainly isn't doing anything that would be consistent with the vision. He apparently doesn't make haste, and when he does leave he goes right back to Antioch and not only that but takes John Mark with him. There is no indication of a temple vision here. Now the next trip, which is the third one recorded by Luke in the book of Acts, is in Acts 15. Acts 15:1 And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Acts 15:2 When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, and certain other of them, should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now this is the same time that Paul writes about in Galatians. Galatians 2:1 Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. Galatians 2:2 And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain. So in Acts chapter 15 you have the meeting of Paul and Barnabas with those from the church at Jerusalem. The contention is about circumcision and the law of Moses. There is no indication of any feast or any visit to the temple. There is also every indication that Paul is speaking boldly, isn't there? He spake so boldly, as a matter of fact, that those in Jerusalem saw some things, didn't they? Galatians 2:7 But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Galatians 2:8 For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When the meeting is over there is no indication of any hasty departure at all, is there? As a matter of fact, two men from the Jerusalem church go back to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Acts 15:30 So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Acts 15:31 Which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Acts 15:32 And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words, and confirmed them. Acts 15:33 And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Acts 15:34 Notwithstanding it pleased Silas to abide there still. Now, So far we have covered all of Paul's visits to Jerusalem except one. We looked at the Acts 9 visit. No indication of a vision. We looked at the Acts 11 visit. No indication of a vision. We looked at the Acts 15 visit. No indication of a vision. We saw in Acts 22, Paul's fifth trip, is where Paul tells about the vision, but he is telling about something that had already happened. So that just leaves one trip. The one in Acts 18. Now at this time, Paul has just spent over 18 months preaching in Corinth, in Greece. Acts 18:18 And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchreae, for he had a vow. Acts 18:19 And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. Acts 18:20 When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Acts 18:21 But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now notice the attitude of those people in the synagogue of the Jews at Ephesus. Notice that they were very receptive to Paul and to Paul's reasoning. Notice also that they didn't want him to leave but they desired him to tarry longer with them. But Paul wouldn't agree to stay. He said, I must by all means keep this feast. He had shaved his head and he had a vow and he was bound that he was going to Jerusalem to keep the feast. Now watch. Acts 18:22 And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up, and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. This is Paul's fourth trip to Jerusalem. Here Luke merely writes that Paul went up, obviously to Jerusalem, and saluted the church. Then all that Luke has to say is that he left, he went down to Antioch. Like I said, we have covered all the others. We looked at the first, second, and third and we looked at the fifth and last trip as recorded by Luke in the book of Acts where Paul went to Jerusalem. This is the only one we haven't looked at. But notice what Luke writes about it. He just says he went up. It also says that he saluted the church and then, he went down to Antioch. Only Paul tells what happened during that trip. Acts 22:17 And it came to pass, that, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Acts 22:18 And saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Of all the five trips we read about in the book of Acts that Paul made to Jerusalem, this is the only one that would match those verses. Make haste, get out quickly, they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So Paul goes back to Antioch. Acts 18:23 And after he had spent some time there, he departed, and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now remember what happened during the time of Acts 16? Silas came back with Paul from Jerusalem. It pleased Silas to remain in Antioch, and Paul chose Silas and they had went through Phrygia and Galatia at the time of Acts 16, then what happened? They were forbidden to preach in Asia. Acts 16:6 Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Acts 16:7 After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Acts 16:8 And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. So instead of Paul preaching in Asia, in Acts 16:17 and 18, he was forbidden to, but instead went over into Europe. Why was he forbidden to preach in Asia at the time? Well, think about who Peter wrote to and who the book of Revelation is written to. Jews, primarily in Asia. This is a strong indication that the 12 apostles, at least Peter and John were involved in a ministry there, if nothing more than writing and sending letters. There is no Bible record of them actually preaching there. But during that time Paul was forbidden to preach there. He went into Macedonia and Athens and Corinth. The short visit in Acts 18 is the first time Paul has ever been into Asia. Now notice again the attitude of the people in the synagogue at Ephesus. Acts 18:19 And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. Acts 18:20 When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. So Paul leaves, but they didn't want him to go. They desired him to tarry longer time with them. They apparently were very receptive to Paul at the time. But he consented not to stay with them but promises to return, if the Lord will, and he sails from Ephesus. He then goes to Jerusalem, he comes back to Antioch, and he goes back through Phrygia and Galatia, places he had preached in during the time of Acts 16 and he comes back to Ephesus. Now watch the attitude of the people. Acts 19:8 And he went into the synagogue, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 19:9 But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Do you notice the difference in their attitude between Paul's first visit in Acts 18 and this one in Acts 19? What has happened? Evidently it has been a relatively short period of time. Has the whole population of the synagogue at Ephesus changed? Or, is Paul saying something different in Acts 19 than his reasoning in Acts 18? Evidently he is. Because he has made the Jews mad. So mad, in fact, that they were hardened, they believed not and they spake evil of that way. Well, the way that Paul preaches is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to both the Jews and the Greeks. To them that are called it is both the power of God and the wisdom of God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. And the Jews get mad about it, and they are still mad when Paul comes back to Jerusalem for that fifth and final trip. Acts 21:20 And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Acts 21:21 And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Acts 21:22 What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Acts 21:23 Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have 4 men which have a vow on them. Now notice the uproar after Paul agrees to be at charges with those 4 men and to go into the temple with them. Acts 21:26 Then Paul took the men, and the next day purifying himself with them entered into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Acts 21:27 And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people, and laid hands on him. Acts 21:28 Crying out, Men of Israel, help, this is the man, that teach hate all men everywhere against the people, and the law, and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. Acts 21:29 For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Acts 21:30 And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul, and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. So who started the uproar? It was the Jews of Asia. Not only that, but they were believers. There were many thousands of Jews who were believers. But, they didn't believe Paul's gospel, did they? Back in Ephesus, Paul had separated the disciples. Acts 19:9 But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Acts 19:10 And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul wound up staying in Ephesus for a total of 3 years. The 3 months in the synagogue, the 2 years in the school of Tyrannus and then he tarried there after that. Acts 19:21 After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, After I have been there, I must also see Rome. Acts 19:22 So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So after that Paul leaves and he goes into Macedonia and then goes down to Corinth. In Corinth Paul writes the Roman letter. Notice what he says to them in chapter 15. Romans 15:19 Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Notice that he says that he has fully preached the gospel of Christ. Illyricum is a province located north of Macedonia, and Paul has traveled as far as unto there, and has fully preached the gospel of Christ. Keep in mind that Paul was forbidden to preach in Asia in Acts 16, 17, and most of 18, but in Acts 19 he spent 3 years there and all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. But there were some Ephesians who were not in that group. The very people to whom Paul wrote the Ephesian letter. They did not get the message in Acts 19. But look what he says. Romans 15:29 And I am sure that, when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ? Could it be that the fullness of the blessing consists of some things that Paul has never before said? Could it pertain to some truth that, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that he will say but has not yet said? 2 Corinthians 12:6 For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. There is some truth that Paul refers to there that he will say but as of yet he has not said. Is that what he means by the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ? Paul stays in Corinth for 3 months during the time of Acts chapter 20 and eventually he winds up back at Miletus with the elders of the church at Ephesus. He tells them they are not going to see him anymore. Acts 20:25 And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Acts 20:26 Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Acts 20:27 For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Well, what is the whole counsel of God? Back up and read. Acts 20:24 But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:32 And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now watch carefully the next two verses. Acts 20:33 I have coveted no man's silver, or gold, or apparel. Acts 20:34 Yea, yourselves know, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. Please compare that with Philippians 4:15 Now ye Philippians know also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Philippians 4:16 For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So Paul refers to the beginning of the gospel. What gospel? Evidently the very ministry he says that he has received of the Lord Jesus almost immediately after departing from Macedonia, the gospel of the grace of God. And he associates it with his necessity. Now Paul went to Macedonia in Acts 17. Did he have a necessity at that time? No. 1 Thessalonians 2:9 For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:8 Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. But he says when he departed from Macedonia, In the beginning of the gospel, he had a necessity, concerning giving and receiving, and that the Philippians communicated with him pertaining to that. It had to be at some later time and not the time of Acts 17, didn't it? Acts 20:6 And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. To sail away from Philippi is to depart from Macedonia. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, his 5th trip. He gets arrested and he winds up in Rome. It takes over 2 years for him to get there, but the first thing he does in Rome is call for the elders of the Jews. They appointed a day and he spent the whole day reasoning with them out of the scriptures. Acts 28:23 And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Acts 28:24 And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. There is a very interesting as and so which was spoken by Christ himself to Paul during the time Paul was on trial in Jerusalem before being taken to Rome. Acts 23:11 And the night following the Lord stood by him, and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. See the as and so. It means that just as Paul testified when he spoke in the Hebrew tongue the words Luke wrote in Acts 22 from verse 1 through verse 21, in the same way Paul was to testify to the Jews in Rome. Now notice here. Acts 28:28 Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and that they will hear it. Not that they have heard it and not that they have already been hearing it. From the Thessalonian letters we understand that Paul was forbidden to speak to the Gentiles. Compare the brethren and the Gentiles in the following. 1 Thessalonians 2:14 For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. 1 Thessalonians 2:15 Who both killed the Lord Jesus, and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. 1 Thessalonians 2:16 Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. It is pretty plain that ye brethren stand in contrast to the Gentiles, they in those verses. Now from Luke's account of Paul's trip to Thessalonica we can find who ye brethren are. Acts 17:4 And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So there we see who the Thessalonians are. Some of them are Jews and the others Paul found, not only in the synagogue of the Jews in Thessalonica but in all the others are Greeks. Greeks are Gentiles, but not all Gentiles are Greeks. The gospel of Christ preached by Paul during the time of the book of Acts was preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Galatians in Galatians 3:28 are Jews and Greeks. The Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12:13 are literally Jews and Greeks. In Romans 10:12 there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek and the gospel of Christ is the power of God to save the Jew first and also the Greek in Romans 1:16. Now, with all the Bible evidence, it is clear that Paul did not have a vision in the temple in Acts chapter 9. With all the evidence it looks as if the vision was at the time of Acts 18, 22 and that explains the difference in Paul's epistles during the book of Acts with those after the book of Acts. That explains the difference between those who were in the promises, the Thessalonians, the Galatians, the Corinthians and the Romans, and the contrast of people like the Ephesians who were not in the promises. They were without Christ, aliens, strangers, without God, and without hope in the world, except for the fellowship of the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:5 Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians 3:6 That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Notice the same body. the same body which began with Paul and included every person who heard the message Paul preached and was baptized by one Spirit into one body. So the mystery of Ephesians 3 is properly called the mystery of the gospel, being unsearchable and past finding out, because rather than being hidden in the Scriptures, by which it could be made known like the mystery of Romans 16:25-26, it was hid in God. So from the time Paul headed for Jerusalem on that final and fateful trip when he told the elders at Ephesus that they should see his face no more, his ministry took a huge turn. From that time forward Paul is a prisoner, first in Jerusalem and then in Caesarea and finally in Rome, and he says that he is the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.